Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from GuillotineLeagues.com, here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchi, and my co-hosts today are Scott Fish. Hi, Scott.
Hey, I got my mic on.
You got your mic on. Well, he's got five more chances to screw it up. And Matt Harrison from Shock Fantasy.
Hello.
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
It's been a little bit.
It was 1 week. It was literally 1 week.
I missed you.
You missed Colin McCockney, because
really
he wasn't on last week, I heard.
No, he didn't call in.
It was
did
weird.
Did not call in. Well, there
no
was
no call
there
in was, for Colin.
Was there a London game?
No.
No, that's why.
I figured he's just a fixture on the show now.
let's hope not, actually. We have lots to get to over the course of the show, including breaking down every game fantasy style with letter grades on all the players who matter. Take a chance on me, 9 players that you can take a chance upon. Three tough
clever
questions.
Name.
Yes. And premature speculation, where we give you players upon whom you can take a chance. No, wait. That's premature speculation is...
You can take a chance on those guys,
well,
too.
Well, there are guys you take
Why
a chance
not?
On. It wakes
up. Absolutely.
It's going to be a long, long show at this rate.
Restart the show.
Don't tell me to restart this show. I'll turn this car around. We begin with the Rams taking on the Texans as we start breaking down fantasy matchups for you. Only one game on bye this week, so we've got plenty to get to. For Rams-Texans, it feels like a one-sided affair. We expected a lot more scoring last week from the Rams in a similarly easy matchup.
Mm-hmm.
What about this week? And I especially want to focus on Darrell Henderson. Huge letdown against the Lions last week. Do you like him this week against the Texans?
That was a smash spot. I don't know what happened there. But, we can start with Henderson. He once again gets another bottom 10 defense against running backs, allowing over 120 rushing yards per game. I will say, though, Henderson now healthy, he's getting all the work in that backfield. Michelle is relegated to almost nothing. Just 8 snaps last week for Michelle.
So, good.
Yeah, so he's on your bench. But Henderson, I'm giving the A to again. This Texans defense has allowed a running back touchdown in all but one game, 12 on the year. That's a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah.
And Henderson has 18-plus touches in 4 straight, averaging 96 yards per game. I like him here. Got an A grade there. On to the passing game, I think we're still giving Stafford and Kupp obvious A's. I mean, Stafford's averaging 310 yards, 2.7 touchdowns per game against a bottom 10 defense.
You sound like you're surprised that we're giving them A's against the Texans.
Yeah, no, I'm just...
I think you've explained it too much already.
Hottest combination in fantasy football.
All right, let's get over to Woods then.
Yes,
I'm giving a B grade to Woods, 70 yards and or a score in 4 straight. The Texans aren't allowing a ton to wide receivers because they allowed a ton to tight ends and running backs. Apparently wide receivers is the spot that they're holding back a little bit, but I still give Woods a B grade. He's probably going to get, 70 yards and or a score. That's what he's doing. Van Jefferson, I got a C grade too. He's completely taken over the number 3 role, playing 94% of the snaps last week.
He's forced Deshaun Jackson out of the team.
Yeah, grumpy Gus over there. Deshaun Jackson wants a trade.
Wait,
now.
Isn't he a squeaky wheel?
At
what point do you go from squeaky wheel to grumpy Gus?
He's there.
Yeah. So, somewhere.
We don't have a trade. You know what? We need a squeaky wheel sounder. That's what we need.
Speaking of squeaky wheel, the coaches have said they want to get Van Jefferson more involved as well. So I'm giving him the C grade there. I think it's a great spot for Tyler Higbee, who I'm giving an A grade to. The Texans have allowed a tight end touchdown in all but 2 games. That's 6 on the season. 5 tight ends over 40 yards. 5 tight ends with 4 receptions or more. And he got three red zone targets in each of the last 2 games. He's getting targeted down there, so I think he's got a good shot at a touchdown. I have an A grade on him this week. Over to the other side, I kind of want to bench everything. I'm going to give...
You're allowed to do that.
The Rams have only allowed 1 quarterback over 270 yards and 1 multiple touchdown game, so Mills is on the bench.
For sure.
Cooks is the only receiver you'd want, and I think I'm going to give him a C grade just because of the negative game script, and he's gained 7 to 10 targets, except for that one Patriots game. He's gained 7 to 10 targets a game. I'm going to give him a C grade just on that. It's going to suck if he gets Ramsey, though.
Well, and why wouldn't he?
Yeah, so
Jalen Ramsey shadows often, yeah. Not always, but often, and you know, against the Texans, why wouldn't you?
This is a volume
deep
call, but I would say if you have a better option, you know, go bench him. The run game now with the trade of Mark Ingram, I have Johnson and Lindsay on the bench. The only redeeming spot for Johnson is he had 5 or more catches in 2 of the last 3 games. He's really involved in the passing game, but. You know, it's not Bipocalypse anymore. You don't need a running back that bad to be going to Johnson. And we actually truly don't know what the split will be when Ingram's not in the game.
Ingram leaves behind 14 touches per week. If you split those evenly between Johnson and Lindsay, it puts Johnson at 15 touches a game, which is pretty relevant.
Yeah.
At 15 touches for a running back. You know,
unfortunately, Mark Ingram was almost getting that, and he was barely relevant.
His game's 40 yards.
Yes. But the difference is Johnson catches. And that's why I would give him a C grade. You don't have to. I would give him a C grade just on total usage here.
Yeah. I can see the path for it, but I can also see... I can see
Houston scoring like no points.
Them
in this
getting
game.
Way behind. Yeah, exactly. So that's it.
That's it. Okay. Steelers take on the Browns, Matt. On the Steelers side, Juju Smith-Schuster is out, of course, and that means we've got Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson with a matchup, and no Denzel Ward in this game. And that may be one of the things that helps leverage those two to a better game.
Yeah, I gave Deontay a B, and I gave Chase a C. And it's been the outside wide receivers that have really terrorized the Browns. And with Ward out, that makes it even better.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson lines up on the outside 90% of the time, with Claypool out there about 80% of the time. Deontay had 13 targets and 9 catches exactly in 2 of his last 3 games. And Claypool has scored 3 times in 3 career meetings with the Browns and seen his target share skyrocket since Juju's injury. But I just don't believe in Big Ben enough, so they both get downgraded a bit. And I have Big Ben on the bench. Ben bench. Yeah, it all works together. He's only hit the 2 touchdown mark once this season, and he's topped 255 yards only twice. The Browns have been good against the pass if they're not facing a marquee quarterback. Like against Mahomes, Air Bear, and Kyler, they got roasted. But everybody else, they were all held to under 205 yards and only 1 threw for multiple scores against the Browns.
Yeah.
So I don't like Ben.
And Ben's not at that marquee level anymore.
Not even close. Najee Harris is the only other Steeler I think we really need to talk to. His workload of 25 carries plus targets is second only to Derrick Henry in the entire league. So it's hard to put anything worse than a B grade on him, even in a tough matchup. The Browns are top 6 in yards per carry, rushing yards, rushing scores, and total yards allowed to running backs. However, Austin Eckler was able to just go bananas against this defense 3 weeks ago. So with all that workload, I think Najee Harris, he can't be worse than a B in this one.
Let me mention the tight end situation. Eric Ebron out, so I'm seeing a lot of people pivoting to Pat Freiermuth.
Love him.
The catch here is, though, the Browns have been great against tight ends. Yeah, in week 1... Travis Kelce terrorized them like he does everybody.
But he's Travis Kelce.
But since then, they're giving up an average of 2 catches for 24 yards and 0.2 scores to the tight end position. So
Travis Kelce out of all tight end statistics because he's such an outlier.
Once Juju came out, Freiermuth's targets just shot up. That's what I love about him. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets 5 to 7 targets here. I will say you're right about that with the Kelce thing. Defense versus tight ends is such a noisy statistic. It's all about who you played.
But now we're at week 8. So, I mean, the sample size is not trivial here. And the Browns have been very good against tight ends other than Kelce. Mm-hmm. This reminds me, by the way, before you guys' time on the show, when Jamarcus Russell was a quarterback, we renamed him on the show Jamarcus Asterisk because...
Were
you then? Yeah, he ruined every stat.
Yeah.
You'd have to go, well, every quarterback except Jamarcus is averaging this. You know,
You're absolutely right. The Browns have been awesome against Blake Bell, Farrell Brown, Cole Kmet, Jimmy Graham, Tyler Conklin, Steven Anderson, Jared Cook.
Pat Freiermuth is not above that company right now.
I think he's above all of those. However, Noah Fant there, 5 for 39.
You know. 5 for 39.
Stop hijacking my matchup, boys. Come on, I got to get back to the Browns here.
We got to get to it.
Nick Chubb, he's been limited with a calf injury all week. If he can't go, it'll be a heavy dose of D'Ernest Johnson again with some Demetric Felton sprinkled in. It's worth noting that the Browns have had 4 different instances this season in which a running back had 21 or more carries this year. 3 were Chubb, and then last week it was D'Ernest Johnson. So if Chubb does go...
And he will. I mean, they took him off the injury report, so he's going.
Well, that's good. He'll probably be close to a bell cow. For some reason, if Chubb doesn't go, I mean, Johnson probably gets the grade here. Alex Collins is the only back to get 20 rushing attempts against the Steelers this year. He ended up with 101 yards and a score, but that was the only score the Steelers have allowed to the position. So I'm only going to give Chubb a C grade in this one. The receivers, Jarvis Landry, he's the only one I'd start, but I'm just giving him a C grade. Odell Beckham is firmly on the bench. And by the way, he's dealing with a shoulder injury, has been limited all week. And if he doesn't put up decent numbers this week, I recommend a sabotage drop of Odell Beckham.
Oh, dun, dun, dun.
He hasn't topped 100 yards in 2 years. Mm-hmm. In fact, since week 6 of 2019, he's topped 60 yards 8 times, and he's been held under 60 yards 14 times. So Odell's just not good anymore. He hasn't really been relevant as a fantasy player since 2016.
No, it's been a while.
Landry appears to be more healthy. He saw 8 targets in his return last week. The eye test looked good, too. 5 out of the 6 slot receivers to face the Steelers this year have posted very strong outings, and Landry is the best of that list. Finally, Baker Mayfield slated to start despite a fracture in his non-throwing shoulder and a torn labrum. It's a pain tolerance thing, but there's a chance he gets sacked by TJ Watt in this one and is removed from this game. So there's no way I'm starting Baker Mayfield. And Case Keenum, he filled in admirably last week, so I think that they could pivot to him pretty easily if Baker's not 100% in this one. So Baker is on your bench, and that's it. Hanging up the phone.
49ers take on the Bears. The highest scoring wide receiver in fantasy football is Cooper Kupp by a fair margin. You know who's number 2?
Debo Samuel.
Maybe deduced based on the fact that I'm talking about the 49ers and the Bears, and it wasn't going to be any Bears.
It's not Allen Robinson.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Exactly.
Darnell Mooney?
So
Brandon Ayuk.
He's second in receivers and yards after catch, which is great. He's an elite playmaker, and he gets a Bears defense that is 3rd worst in tackling and 5th worst in coverage by Pro Football Focus. Chicago allowing the 12th fewest passing yards, but 74% of those yards have gone to receivers, and that is the league's 2nd highest figure. And with George Kittle out, Debo Samuel's going to get a ton of looks in this game. A grade for Debo Samuel. Let's stick with the passing game. I've got a C grade on Jimmy Garoppolo, and it's a deep sleeper if needed. The Bears' secondary's in disarray. No Khalil Mack to provide pressure on Garoppolo in this game. Chicago's allowed multiple touchdowns in 3 of the past 4 games, and while he's not a high upside quarterback, Garoppolo is a safe one here, so maybe in QB flex and QB2 leagues, Jimmy Garoppolo startable here. Brandon Ayuk, I spent a lot of time on whether or not to put a starting grade on him. In theory, Ayuk should do something here because he's been on the field for 70% of the team's plays. George Kittle is out. Ayuk's the next best receiver on this team after Debo Samuel, and they can't throw every pass to Samuel, right? And the Bears' thin secondary will be mobilizing to stop Debo Samuel, so Ayuk should have very favorable coverage here. That said, it's been 1 and 2 catch games in every game but one of them. The breakout's coming at some point for Ayuk, or at least the relevancy, and this is a spot where it could be. So I'm going to put a highly speculative C grade on Brandon Ayuk because it should come together here. You just can't count on it.
And if it doesn't?
Sue me. Elijah Mitchell gets a B grade. Got almost all the work last week and dominated in the first half in particular. The Bears have earned unsightly Pro Football Focus grades, ranking 29th in overall defense, 25th against the run, 30th in tackling. Khalil Mack out, as I mentioned. At home, Chicago's been a better run defense, but not a lot. And I think this thing could get ugly against a Bears team that's in disarray right now. I like Elijah Mitchell a lot, and a solid B grade for him. Ross Dwelly is on the bench against a good Bears tight end defense. Let's go over to Chicago. The entire passing game's on the bench. Do we even need to elaborate on that, or can we just say that now?
No, we can say that.
Allen Robinson's on the bench. You know, the whole they can't pass. So even with what could be a positive matchup against a battered San Francisco secondary, I can't trust any part of it right now. So we're just going to put them on the bench. The only starter you care about is Khalil Herbert, who's got a C. He wowed me with his running against Tampa last week. It's something basically nobody does. Only the second running back in 2 years to top 100 yards against Tampa, which was very impressive. And it's the only reason he's actually on my – he's actually got a C grade here. This is a pretty good 49ers run defense. Only Jonathan Taylor's topped 82 yards. San Francisco's giving up just 3.8 yards per carry. But we do like ground bear. He's looked good. And Damian Williams did very, very little last week.
I dropped him in the league, Damian Williams.
Yeah, I don't blame
I'm
you.
I'm letting someone else deal with that.
Yeah, Zach, I don't blame you. So, yeah, that's it for Chicago for not going to spend time on the passing game.
Want a fun fact on the passing game?
Yeah,
please. There are five NFL teams that have over twice the passing yards that the Bears have.
You know, that doesn't seem that fun.
No, that really isn't a fun fact. That is a frustrating fact for many, many people. When we come back, take a chance on me. Nine players upon whom you can take a chance. These are guys that are on the waiver wire, guys you don't normally start. We'll tell you who they are when we return to Fantasy Football Weekly. Starting lineup, we begin at the quarterback position. Scott Fish, who you got?
I am going with Carson Wentz. He played this same Titans team in week three, had 194 yards and no scores, but he had two broken or sprained ankles at the time. Mm-hmm. Since then, he's had multiple touchdowns in every game since. The Titans are sixth worst against quarterbacks and have allowed multiple touchdowns in five of their last seven. I think it's a good spot for him.
I do too. I'm with you on this one. I like Wentz. Matt, your take a chance on me, quarterback.
I'm pretty sick to my stomach right now after recommending Sam Darnold here, after doing so poorly against the Giants that he was benched, and that was just last week.
You know what?
But,
the NFL's so weird. This might just work.
But he gets the Falcons this week, and the Falcons have given up some explosive output to several quarterbacks this season. Jalen Hurts went for 264 and 3, Brady 276 and 5, Heinicke 290 and 3, Tua, 291 and 4. Three of those names are kind of suspect throwers right in the realm of Sam Darnold. So, YOLO.
YOLO. Sam Darnold. I've got Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think he's played particularly well the last couple of weeks, but here comes the worst pass defense in the league, Washington, allowing the most fantasy points, the most touchdowns, the second most receptions, and the second most passing yards. His receivers have good matchups. Jerry Jeudy, barring something very weird, comes back for this one. Cortland Sutton is there as well. Tim Patrick, we're going to talk about this a little more, probably stays on the field moving into the slot. This is an offense with a great opportunity, and Landon Collins might be the worst safety in the league. Let's go to the running back position. Scott.
I am taking a page out of your playbook from last week, Charge, where you chose two runners from the same team. And I'm going with Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott. After Miles Sanders left last week, Gainwell played 22 snaps. Scott played 20. Gainwell ran a route on 17 of those. Mm-hmm. Scott led in carries 9-4. It looks like that's the split. We're going to get a lot of running game out of Scott and a lot of passing work out of Gainwell. I think they both can be viable. Scott more in standard and Gainwell more in PPR.
Matt, you're taking a chance on me running back.
I feel like Scott's cheating there, and he's more likely to get one right.
I think that's what he's trying to do.
But then I only get half a peacock if that happens.
I don't even know how to do half a peacock. Is it there? I think I got it.
So I guess I'll go with Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. I mean, actually, Singletary is the guy. The backfield committee is almost as even a split as possible. It's like when you cut the last cookie in half for your two kids, and you got to make it equal so they don't freak out. In the five games where both have played, Moss is leading the carry total by only 5 rushing attempts, and they're evenly tied in receptions. Singletary's carries fell off a bit in the last 2 weeks against the Chiefs and Titans, but it should revert to normal in what should be a blowout against Miami. The Dolphins are bottom 10 in total yards allowed to backs at 138 per game, and have allowed 10 total touchdowns to opposing runners, which is the third most in the league. There's plenty to go around here.
Samaje Perine takes on the Jets, and the Jets are getting obliterated by opposing running backs. They're giving up 36 touches for 194 total yards to running backs.
Yikes.
Joe Mixon can't get all of that, and the Jets are so bad right now that Cincinnati's going to get way ahead up by a lot. Joe Mixon's going to rest, and Samaje Perine's going to come in the game and mop up what should be a solid second half for Samaje Perine. Let's go to the receiver position. Scott.
I am going with Jamal Agnew for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
It's getting hard to ignore that Urban Meyer may have found his new space player. He wanted that role for ETN. That didn't work out. Then we thought maybe Chenault.
I thought it would be Chenault.
And that didn't work out. He's found it in Agnew, who's caught 11 of his 13 targets in the last 2 weeks. And if you've watched them, they're all open, short, in space with plenty of room to run. He's a speedy guy who can make, he hasn't made a huge play yet of it. He had that kickoff return for a touchdown, or that missed field goal for a touchdown. But he's a dynamic playmaker. If he gets 5 to 7 targets, he can make a play with one of them. I like him this week.
Didn't they pay him stupid money in the offseason? I swear they did. They signed him to some contract.
It was for special teams. Yeah, 3 years, $14.25 million.
Yeah, you're like, how does that make sense?
Better use him then.
I think they're going to here. Matt, you take a chance on me, receiver.
Cole Beasley, who will square off against Miami's Nick Needham in the slot. Needham needs more than ham to stop Beasley. He's allowed 74% of the passes thrown in his coverage to be completed. In fact, the Dolphins have allowed the second most receiving yards to slot wide receivers this season, only behind Tennessee. Plus, Beasley's averaging 7 targets and 5.5 receptions per game on the season. He's playing for one of the best offenses in the league, and the workload is there, but he's only rostered in 57% of leagues right now, and that needs to be fixed.
Also,
Cole Beasley needs to be on rosters.
Also, no Dawson Knox in the middle.
Great point. Speaking of ham, my wife thinks it's weird to put mustard on ham. Like, I thought everybody put mustard on ham.
I don't put mustard on anything, so.
I mean, I don't eat ham, so.
Of course you do.
Or mustard. So.
You're not part of any food conversation we ever have on this show. Evan Engram is sitting on potentially a nice game. We've got Shepard, Golladay, and Tony all hurting. All of them look shaping up as game time decisions here. Engram should be a major part of the New York Giants offense. Engram comes off his heaviest game target of the season, and now a delicious matchup against the Chiefs. The team allowing the most yards to tight ends, 82 per game, and the 5th most touchdowns to tight ends. What's more, Kansas City's allowed tight end touchdowns in 4 straight games. Mark Engram, my sneaky sleeper play of the week.
Or Evan Engram.
Mark Engram? Jeez, Evan Engram.
Wow. You know,
this whole show has been this way.
Can we get Mark tight end eligibility?
Well, we did it. We managed to change eligibility on Cordarrelle Patterson.
Let's do it. All right.
We, at one point, years ago, Chargers tight end turn running back.
I don't remember.
Dang it. I can't remember his name. I'm going to have to look it up. Oh, it created no end of frustration for fantasy leagues back in the day.
Natron Means.
Nope. Cincinnati takes on the Jets. Scott, let's start on the Cincinnati part of this. I already told you I like Samaje Perine.
You did.
Joe Mixon's a slam dunk. I don't even think you need to spend time here, really.
Yeah, no. You mentioned all the stats that the Jets are giving up. So I have an A grade on Joe Mixon. But, yeah, smash spot for him over the passing game. I think Burrow's starting to near that obvious A territory, too. But if not, he's the only QB to have multiple touchdown passes in every game this year. The Jets rank top 10 against QBs, but they haven't really been tested. In the last 2 games, they've allowed 300 plus and multiple scores. I have an A grade on Burrow. I have an A grade on Chase because, you know, I have eyeballs and I've watched him play. I have a C grade on T. Higgins. He's actually out-targeted Chase in games they've both played together. Much like their top rank against QBs, they also have a top rank against wide receivers, the Jets do. But once again, they haven't had a lot of really great tests. No 100-yard receivers, but a bunch of 50 to 60 yard guys. Mm-hmm. I think that's where Higgins lands, and that's why I give the C grade on him. He's not getting the huge, you know, the huge plays, but he is averaging over 8 targets a game.
Yeah.
I have Boyd on the bench because he's not doing enough right now.
CJ Uzoma's eaten a lot of his work in the middle of the field, and he's been very good lately. Yep. What do you think about the tight end?
We had that call on Uzoma right last week.
Yes, we did.
I think he hits again this week.
That's a full peacock right there.
He gets a Jets D that is allowed. This Jets D has allowed 285 yards and 3 scores to tight ends in just the last 2 weeks.
Jeez.
That's a lot of points. I only have a B grade on him, but you could, just because this offense, if he doesn't score a touchdown, it might come down. But it could be an A grade, honestly. On the other side, I only have one starting grade for the Jets.
I bet.
Only one. The passing game is all on the bench with Mike White, and even if Flacco comes in, everybody's on the
bench. Corey Davis is hurt, probably doesn't play in this game.
Yep. I have a C grade on Michael Carter, and it's just volume. 14 touches, 13 touches, 19 touches. He's going to get 10+. They're going to be behind. And Mike White, if you watched the game last week after Mike White came in, dump off to Carter. He had 8 catches. It's dump offs to Carter.
I actually thought Mike White looked way better than
he was going to look. 200+ yards. Yeah,
I was like, oh, this is going to be ugly, and he was actually okay.
And for a guy who caught a running back who caught eight passes, going up against the Bengals, who have allowed the most receptions to running backs in the league, and a negative game script, give me Carter with a C grade, and I could be talked into higher.
Sounds good. I like where you're going with that. When we come back, we're going to check in on Panthers at Falcons. Matt already told you. A personal guarantee that Sam Darnold's going to have a gigantic game here.
Yes, so obviously. I felt so good about it.
I went with confident.
YOLO.
So we'll find out what other elements of the Panthers' offense you can trust. Chuba Hubbard, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson. Is that even possible?
Nope.
We'll talk about that when we come back. If you haven't had a chance to participate in a guillotine league, it's not too late. No head-to-head matchups. Instead, the lowest team gets cut, and the rest of that team's roster goes to the waiver wire where everybody else gets to bid on those players. All you have to do is not be the lowest scoring team every single week, and the last team standing wins it all. New leagues forming at guillotineleagues.com. Back in moments. Football Weekly, Paul Charchian, Scott Fish, and Matt Harrison. You can follow us on Twitter if you'd like. I'm at Paul Charchian, at ScottFish24, and at Explosive Output for
Correct.
Matt Harrison, shockfantasy.com. Panthers take on the Falcons, Matt. As I alluded to going into this break, you like Sam Darnold.
Or
you half like Sam Darnold.
I'm forced into taking a take-a-chance-on-me quarterback every week, so Darnold was it.
Darnold's it.
Yeah. All right.
So how do you feel? Does he get a C grade? I hope so. You're not giving a bench grade to a guy that
He's got a C grade, okay. But I do like his wide receiver, DJ Moore. Have you ever heard of this guy? He's getting an A grade. He's seen double-digit targets in 5 of 7 games this season and at least 5 receptions in every contest. Hasn't scored in 3 weeks, though, but the Falcons have allowed 9 touchdowns. That's 9 times, Charch.
9 times.
To the wide receiver position through 6 games, so I like his chances of a score here. Moore has also beat the Falcons for 80 or more yards in 3 of his last 4 meetings. Robbie Anderson, I'm even giving a C grade to. Yeah, quietly, very quietly.
Yeah.
Robbie Anderson is averaging 9 targets per game over the last 5 weeks.
9 times.
And half a catch per game.
That's 13th.
It is about half a catch.
But it's 13th in targets amongst all wide receivers in the NFL during that span.
Somebody told me the stat. I'm sure I'm not getting it quite right, but it's close to right.
Mm-hmm.
That over the last, 3 games? 5 games. It's like 29 targets for 29 yards.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's pretty bad. But he has the same amount of targets as Ja'Marr Chase in that span.
Which is crazy.
But it's been quiet because he hasn't topped 46 yards, and he's only scored once in that whole span. So Anderson moves all over the field, but he should match up a fair amount with Fabian Moreau, who's allowed 4 touchdowns in his coverage this year. Chuba Hubbard, he gets a C grade. he's still the replacement bell cow until CMC returns. Either way, I was trying to figure out a good name for replacement bell cow, and don't Google replacement cow or artificial cow.
Oh,
it's
God,
not
no.
good
that
for your
sounds,
browser
that
history.
Sounds horrible.
No, don't do it.
Jeez.
He's had at least 16 touches in three straight weeks, and he's topped 100 yards on the ground once. He's only scored once, so it's kind of matchup-based here, and the Falcons aren't great. Miles Gaskin had 77 yards and a score last week. The Jets' backs combined for 103 and two scores, and Hubbard gets everything, so he's startable. On the other side, the Falcons' runners, Mike Davis is droppable, only four touches last week.
Mm-hmm.
Cordarrelle Patterson has completely taken over that position with 14 carries in each of the last 2 weeks. He does add a little bit in the passing game, too, with six or more targets in five of the past six games. Now, is he really good, though?
Cordarrelle?
Yeah. He's averaging just 4.0 yards per carry in the last 2 weeks when he's really taken over the lead role.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to recommend benching Patterson this week.
Wow.
The Panthers have allowed the fewest rushing touchdowns to the position, as well as the fewest receptions and receiving yards to the position.
Mm.
Opposing runners are only averaging two catches and 12 yards per game through the air. I don't like Patterson in this
that's
one.
That's a very contrarian take. I like it, though. It makes sense. I don't think I would bench him, but...
I will say his receptions don't come as a running back. They come as him splitting out wide.
I have a feeling he's going to be like somewhere in the 50 to 60-yard range as a runner and maybe three or four catches, and it will be a little disappointing this week.
That's a 10-point game.
Yeah, it's a 10-point game.
And now I just
that's
got
not
to,
good enough
I
for
got
me.
To a C grade.
I got better teams than you,
right.
Charch. Let's
oh,
go.
Boy.
Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts, I'm lumping them together and giving them both B grades. Ridley is averaging 10 targets per game on the season. Pitts is averaging 9 over the last 3 weeks. That means roughly half of the passes thrown by Matt Ryan go to one of these two players. And over the last 5 games, the Panthers' revolving door of corners have allowed the 4th most receptions and the 7th most touchdowns to the wide receiver position. And if you want to call Pitts a tight end, they've allowed tight ends to score in 3 of the last 5 games.
I think Pitts relates to Gesicki, who last week went 7 for 85 and 1. Gesicki plays out wide 93% of the time.
I know. He's a wide receiver.
So, yeah. Matt Ryan, he gets a B as well. Multiple touchdown passes in every game but the opener. Since that game, he's averaging 300 yards per game.
Mm.
Panthers have allowed 373 and 3 and a 4-touchdown game in the last month. So I like Matt Ryan here with a B grade.
All right. Washington takes on the Broncos. Taylor Heinicke, I'm down on him after really 2 bad weeks, including last week. His grip on the starting job is wobbly, and a matchup with Denver is not a get-right spot. The Broncos are allowing 1 passing touchdown per game. Nobody has topped 2 passing touchdowns against Denver. Heinicke hasn't been able to establish any kind of offensive consistency with any receiver other than Terry McLaurin, which means that shutting down McLaurin shuts down Heinicke. He's on the bench this week. Last week, he was able to run for 95 yards, which helped salvage his box score.
Mm-hmm.
Denver giving up 12 quarterback rushing yards per game. So Heinicke's on the bench. Let's talk about Terry McLaurin.
Terry.
He's receiving an astounding 49% of Washington's targeted air yards, which is crazy. Second highest number in the league. The Broncos allow the 11th most air yards, the 3rd highest average depth of target at 9.6. McLaurin should be able to get some downfield passing going against Patrick Surtain and Ronald Darby, both of whom allow at least 10 yards per reception in coverage. Still, Denver's allowing the 5th fewest receptions per game. They've given up a 90-yard receiver just 3 times all year, so a B grade on Terry McLaurin. The only other receiver you'd consider starting, and I've just got a C grade on Ricky Seals-Jones.
Mm.
We still don't have a seal on here. Thank you. Ricky Seals-Jones continues to play as an every-down role, and it really the only other option behind Terry McLaurin. He's averaging 6.5 targets per game since taking over for Logan Thomas. But this is a tough matchup. The Broncos allowing the 4th fewest fantasy points per game to opposing tight ends, and they have not given up a touchdown to the position all year. So just the C grade on Ricky Seals-Jones. Now, Antonio Gibson. Denver's been shredded over the past 3 weeks, hemorrhaging 406 rushing yards and 6 total touchdowns allowed to running backs. What's keeping Gibson from elite status is just the middling workload. He's almost always in that like 12, 14, 16 total touch range. And it's just hard to get the explosive output you want.
Yes.
And your guy's touching the ball that infrequently.
He did get two goal line carries last week, and he's off the injury report this week, which is nice.
Yeah, and I do like that part of the prospects for him in this game. His shin injury is a continuing concern of mine, although you hope that it doesn't end up being a factor and like he suddenly gets knocked out in some game. I think, you know, and if obviously if anything were to happen,
they have a bye next week, too.
They have a bye next week. All right. So maybe hopefully he gets healthy over the bye, although there's been talk that he won't get healthy all season. on that leg injury, which is a possibility, unfortunately. J.D. McKissic, if you are in a deep pinch, you could consider here. It's so far just been totally hit or miss on him. You're looking for Washington to fall behind by a lot. If you see that coming, then McKissic can make some sense. And I do like Teddy Bridgewater, who I mentioned, and that'll be my segue over to the Broncos side. He was my take a chance on me quarterback. Cortland Sutton, an A grade. Washington surrendered the second most scores to receivers, including 10 touchdowns in the last four games. Marquez Callaway had a two-score game. Cordarrelle Patterson had a three-score game over the last month against Washington. Sutton has notched at least five catches and 68 yards in three straight, and I love him in this one. Jerry Jeudy comes back. Don't be rattled by the fact that he did not practice on Friday. Judy's ready to go for this game. Probably could have played last week were it not a Thursday game. Had he had a full week of practice, he likely would have played then. So he comes back. And he should be hitting the ground running.
He had full practices early in the week.
Yes. Jeudy runs from all over the field, or he did in the half of a work that he got in week one. By the way, in week one, in about a half of work, it's like six catches for 70 yards. I mean, it was all about Jerry Jeudy early in that one. God, I hope he picks up right where he left off. So he's going to go up a lot against William Jackson, but he's hurt. And if he doesn't go, then he goes up against rookie Benjamin St. Juste, making his second ever start and playing out of position. So I'm very optimistic for him. Now, you're a Tim Patrick manager, and you're thinking to yourself, well, now that Judy's back, he's dead. But wait.
There's more.
KJ Hamler, their slot receiver, out.
Is also dead.
He is dead. And so I think Tim Patrick's going to get a lot of slot use in this one, and he will depose Kendall Hinton from that job. And then, if you follow me on this, if William Jackson is out and Benjamin St. Juste goes to his spot, that puts replacement slot corner Danny Johnson on Tim Patrick.
You made
that
name
up. And he's had just one start all year last week, and he probably gave up a touchdown. And that's why we have a C grade on Tim Patrick in this one. Both of the running backs, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, have C grades. Although I'll note, Javonte Williams is a little hobbled coming into this game, but expected to play. Washington, terrible pass defense. I like the passing game way more than I like the running game. They're a good run defense. And then they both split exactly 13 touches apiece per game. Washington allowing just 3.5 yards per carry. That's second lowest in the league, and no runner is top 62 yards. So I don't love either one, but I can't quite put bench grades on Gordon and Williams because they have been effective for most of the season. Final matchup of this set. Well, maybe not the final matchup of the season.
I think it
might fit in too. We'll see how this goes. Eagles taking on the Lions. Scott, you already told us that you like both of the Eagles running backs in this game.
Yep.
What about the enigma that is Jalen Hurts, who we're going to talk about extensively next segment?
Enigma in fantasy or real? Because NFL?
Well,
because
both.
In fantasy, he's been a top 12 fantasy quarterback every week. The only quarterback to have that.
I thought Burrow was in that.
Oh, yeah. I do think you're right. I think Burrow is in that, too. One of the only two quarterbacks in that. He's basically the new Blake Bortles, garbage time king. 44% of his fantasy points come in the fourth quarter, and like 30% of his fantasy points come with his legs.
Yeah.
But he does get a good matchup here against a Lions defense that's allowing like 280 yards passing per game. So he might be able to get a little extra passing yards this game. I have a B grade on him. You could talk me into an A, but he's just been so bad in the passing game that I just don't want to do it.
Again, more on that later.
Yeah. Devonta Smith, I have a C grade. Smith is the only wide receiver you can consider starting really for the Eagles. The Lions have allowed the top receiver to have a monster game. basically every week. Samuel had 189 at a touch. Mm-hmm. Adams had 121. Mooney had 125. Jefferson 124. Chase 97. Cup 156-2. The top guy gets it done against the Lions every week. So I have a C grade on Smith, but it could be more. Watkins and Rager, they're on your bench. Watkins, no more than three catches in any game. Rager has topped 25 yards only twice.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing there. Dallas Goedert. In his last three games without Ertz, Goedert went 5-for-77 in one, 7-for-75 in one, and 3-for-70.
So around 70 yards, so is what you're saying.
He's basically a 3-to-5 catch 70-yard guy without Ertz over the last three games. So, once again, it's a decent spot. Lions are middle of the pack, 13th against tight ends. But Kittle had 78 yards. Andrews had 109. I put Goedert somewhere like just below that range. I think that 75 is fair for Goedert in this one. But I'm going to give him an A grade just because the Lions are giving up a lot of passing, and I think that he could get something done. On the other side, the Lions, I have Jared Goff on the bench. The Eagles have been so bad against running backs. The passers don't need to throw. Opposing quarterbacks are only averaging 238 yards per game over the last five games. Jared Goff is also only averaging 238 yards per game. And he's only been a coin flip chance at multiple touchdowns this year. I'm going to take the side that they're going to run it more against this defense, and Goff is on the bench. Khalif Raymond and Amon-Ra St. Brown. This annoys me every week.
Yeah.
Yep. 5 weeks ago is Amon-Ra, six catches, a bunch of yards.
Right.
Khalif Raymond, six catches, a bunch of yards. Then 2 weeks of Amon-Ra, six plus catches, a bunch of yards. Now we're 2 weeks in a row of Khalif Raymond with six plus catches and a bunch of yards. This week, Jared Goff came out saying he loves that he always knows where Raymond is on the field and likened him to Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, maybe he's got a thing for Khalif Raymond now. So I'm going to give Raymond the C grade, Bench and Brown over to Hockenson. I'm giving an A grade. He's completely off the injury report now, which is good to see, even though he played through that injury. Since week two, tight ends have torched the Eagles. Elite ones, average one, backups. Foster Moreau had 60 and a touchdown last week. They're all torching them, so I got an A grade for Hockenson. And in the running game, DeAndre Swift, smash spot A grade. I mean, against this Eagles team,
sure.
Third easiest matchups for running backs, allowing nearly 160 combo yards per game, which is good for second worst. They're also allowing the fourth most receptions, which is amazing for Swift. And they're averaging 32 running back touchdowns per game allowed, which means I think you can give Williams a C grade. He probably is going to get 10-plus touches.
All right. I like where you're going with that. Swift has been one of the great stories of this year. His PPR floor is unbelievably high.
Yeah, and it's all coming in the second half.
Fine. Don't care. Those stats all work. Let's sneak in one more matchup. Dolphins taking on the Bills, Matt. So Myles Gaskin only scores when you bench him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you should give him the bench grade here so we've got a chance.
Sure, I'm benching him.
Okay.
The only Dolphins starter I have is Mike Gesicki. He gets a B in this one. He's had seven or more targets and five or more receptions in four of his last five. In that span, topped 80 yards three times and scored twice. The Bills are an awesome defense. They really are. But they've been burned for a couple of big tight end days by Logan Thomas and Travis Kelce this year. But all other Dolphins are on the bench. Devontae Parker is still questionable with a shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
He might not go. Jalen Waddle lines up in the slot against Taron Johnson, who is not allowed a touchdown in his coverage and is giving up around 30 yards per game. Tua faces a Bills defense that's allowed five total passing touchdowns in six games.
Oof.
Gaskin faces a defense that did get torched by Derrick Henry 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but
Myles
that's Derrick
Gaskin
Henry.
Is not Derrick Henry.
No.
And outside of that, no back has topped 45 rushing yards against the Bills. And in the first meeting, Gaskin went for 25 yards on five carries. Yeah. So bench for everybody else. Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. I mentioned Singletary is my take a chance on me runner. Mm-hmm. I'd give Moss a B grade and Singletary the C, though, because Moss has 20 total red zone touches to Singletary's 11, which is why Moss leads the touchdown total 4-1. Josh Allen and Steph Diggs, they both get an Emma Stone grade, which, of course, refers to the 2010 film Easy A.
Oh, yes. I like it. Okay.
Dawson Knox, he's out with a hand injury. Dawson Knox out with a hand injury, but I'm not flexing to Tommy Sweeney. Of course, Cole Beasley was my take a chance of me wide receiver, and Emmanuel Sanders also startable with a B. Even with the Dolphins getting Xavien Howard and Byron Jones back last week, the Dolphins gave up 336 and 2 to the Falcons. Not that that matters. Howard's already given up 5 touchdowns on the season, while Jones is allowed a passer rating of 111.
Nicely done. The two-minute matchup. Well done.
Two-minute matchup.
It helps when it's
we
the
hit
Dolphins
the post. Scott's holding up a clock for us right now.
Hour number two, Fantasy Football Weekly, coming up in moments, including three tough questions. Jalen Hurts, is he safe for the rest of the year? Find out when we come back. Welcome back. Fantasy Football Weekly, hour number two. I'm Paul Charchian. My co-hosts today, Scott Fish and Matt Harrison. Guys, this is a segment we like to call Three Tough Questions. We traditionally begin with
tough question number one.
You're a Patrick Mahomes manager who can use Mahomes' name cachet to trade for almost any quarterback you want. But are you trading him or are you keeping him? Scott?
Nah, for me, I think it's really only one bad game fantasy-wise. I know he's struggled, but I think that they're going to turn it around. I don't think they're doing anything fundamentally terrible. He's still top five in all scoring systems. When I draft a player like as my number one quarterback, it's not because I feel he's going to be the number one quarterback. It's because I feel like very safe he's going to be a top five guy, and that's what Patrick Mahomes has been so far. He's only got 3 top 10 defenses left on the schedule. I know that 2 of them are in the fantasy playoffs, and that does suck, but I'll just stick with Mahomes.
All right. Matt, you've got Patrick Mahomes on your roster. Are you trading him away or are you keeping him?
So first off, in a redraft league, I don't think you can trade him straight up right now for Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, or Lamar Jackson, seeing as they're just so hot right now. I believe those players, you'd have to add something to get that done. And I don't want to add something to get those players. So that leaves the next tier of quarterbacks. And I think there's one quarterback that I'd like to trade Mahomes for. Plus, I think I'd get a little extra back. And that's Tom Brady. Brady's basically averaging the same amount of fantasy points in a standard league. The schedule is as soft as possible for the Bucs. They have one defense on the schedule that's of any concern. It's the Bills in week 14. Plus, Mahomes, as Scott mentioned, his fantasy playoffs are quite a bit more dicey than Brady's. Mahomes gets Pittsburgh, Cincy, and Denver, 3 defenses that have been average or better. Brady gets the Panthers twice and the Jets. So if I had Mahomes, I'd try to trade him for Brady and get a slight upgrade at another position like running back or wide receiver.
That's a very specific answer. So yes is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a yes, but only one guy.
Only one guy.
Only one guy you'd trade for. Fundamentally, on this show, we don't sell low on great players coming off a bad game.
Right.
Not one bad game. Come on.
Kyler Murray had a terrible game the other night. Should we sell him?
No. Well, actually, that's a different story because I don't think Kyler Murray should be included with all the guys that Matt gave you right there because the running numbers have dried up significantly for Kyler Murray. That's a whole other conversation for another time and maybe even later in this show if we have time. We don't sell low on great players coming off a short, bad stretch. This is not the beginning of the end for Patrick Mahomes or anything close to it. Would anybody be surprised if he hit the Giants for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns?
Not at all.
Not even in the slightest. Nobody bat an eye, and we'd all be like, well, weren't we dumb for doubting Patrick Mahomes? So we're not trading Patrick Mahomes. Are there guys you could trade and come up even with? Yes. I mean, Tom Brady comes to mind. I think Josh Allen would be that'd be a fine trade, but I'm not moving Patrick Mahomes and I'm not out there trying to shop him and he's going to be just fine. And Scott said something very salient. He said from a fantasy perspective, Patrick Mahomes has been fine. Multiple touchdowns in every game until last week.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a better fantasy producer than he has been a real-life producer.
Ooh.
He's one game removed from a 400-yard passing game.
We should talk more about fantasy versus reality quarterbacks in tough question number two.
Tough question number two.
Will Jalen Hurts finish the year as the Eagles' starting quarterback? Matt.
Well, he's an awesome fantasy producer. We've talked about it a little bit. However, is he an awesome quarterback? The Eagles have lost 5 of their last 6. They will have three picks in the first round in the top like 12-ish of the draft next year. And don't tell anyone, but Hurts is a bad passer. Over the last 3 weeks, he's been exposed as a bad passer. Each game has seen him with a completion percentage under 60%. By the way, Geno Smith completes 63% of his passes. Hurts' Pro Football Focus passing grade is 21st, just above Jacoby Brissett, Andy Dalton, and Tyrod Taylor. Mm. What do those quarterbacks have in common?
Bench.
They're backups. Plus, Gardner Minshew, he probably needs a shot at least a little bit here. They have to see if he's going to be the guy they're going to roll with next year, or are they going to draft somebody in the first round? So I think they give Gardner Minshew a shot as well.
Scott, will Jalen Hurts finish the year as the Eagles' starting quarterback?
I had every one of Matt's points with the different outcome.
Wow, okay.
Every one of those points led me to think to myself, they're going to give Jalen Hurts every opportunity for the rest of the year to become a better passer, kind of like Lamar Jackson did, before they run into those three picks in the top 13. So I figure they'll let him continue to try to grow all season. And I asked some of my Eagles insiders, and they didn't think it was going to happen, so I trusted them.
Ooh, he's got Eagles insiders. I don't have that.
I have one.
Insider, yeah, singular.
I pluralized it for some reason.
Just to make it sound bigger than it was. You know, I do Philadelphia radio every Thursday.
Oh, so you have Eagles insiders,
they're
too.
They're outsiders. It's on the air. It's on 100,000 watts of radio. So they don't think Hurts is going to finish the season as the starter. Sooner or later, every quarterback has to be able to pass. You can only cover up passing deficiencies for so long. Jalen Hurts has the eighth most turnover-worthy plays, according to PFF. He's absorbed the most sacks.
That's
22.
Not good for a fleet of foot guy.
No, despite having the third most time in the pocket, he's absorbed 22 sacks. That's a lack of awareness.
Wentz was doing
Jalen
that too
Hurts.
There. Maybe they just teach slow processes.
Maybe they do. Yeah. His deep passing for Hurts is especially bad. He's completing just 37% of his deep passes, 20 or more yards. And he's tied for the most interceptions on those deep passes.
So is this high value dynasty-wise for Jalen Hurts? Is this the peak right now?
This is it.
They can't possibly believe that Minshew is the starter, though. Like, is the long-term starter, though.
Well, so maybe not, but hear me out. So after this week's game against Detroit, here comes Chargers, Broncos, Saints. Hard matchup, hard matchup, hard matchup. That's Hurts may, over the course of those three games, that could be yet more losses. They could go 0-3. They could be. That's something like a.
They're going to lose to Detroit this week, by the way.
It's not out of the question.
Yeah.
At that point, you just, your hand gets pressed on this, and they might have no choice but to bench him. Then Philadelphia's got the weird late bye, the week 14 bye.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Could Sirianni use that as a if they play okay and they're still quasi relevant and they have to have a surge? They got to like win out December to make the playoffs, and Hurts has been bad. That could be another opportunity to make the move. I think there's too many scenarios where Hurts gets benched because he just can't pass.
Hmm.
We're going to say yes.
Okay. Tough question number three.
What's the appropriate level of concern for T. Higgins? None, some, or a bowel loosening level of existential dread? Scott.
It's just some. I mean, he leads the team in targets in games he's played with Ja'Marr Chase. I mentioned that earlier during that matchup. So meaning excluding the ones he missed. Leads the team in red zone targets. Even if you include those missed games, he leads the team in red zone targets.
Yeah.
He just isn't getting the big plays that he did last year. Ja'Marr Chase is getting those big plays now.
Yeah.
The reason I say some is because this offense is running about as efficiently as it can. And he's not getting the massive numbers. So I don't know that he's going to get a big jump. Maybe he'll get a few more big plays. But it seems like this might be what he is with Ja'Marr Chase on the field. So just some.
Okay. Matt, what's the appropriate level of concern for T. Higgins? None, some, or blowed?
Scott stole a lot of my points. The only thing I'll really add on is he had 15 targets last week. That's huge.
It's a lot.
What's good for the offense is good for the offense. And Ja'Marr Chase is good for the offense. And they're going to have to start double covering him. That's why I have no concern about T. Higgins right now.
Ja'Marr Chase has already murdered one Bengals wide receiver. Tyler Boyd's career over. He's being dropped outright, and he should be dropped outright. T. Higgins is next.
Oh, no.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that may be the case.
What's good for the offense is bad for the offense?
No, I'm not saying that.
Oh, geez.
Chase is so good. Higgins will never be more than the second receiving option on this team. Now, he is a good receiver, and he's got a good quarterback. That means he's going to be on your roster, and you're going to be able to plug him in from time to time. But all the big plays, all the juicy box scores, that's going to Ja'Marr Chase. And the other thing that's going to frustrate you on T. Higgins, the dud game, and we've already seen it this year, the four catches for 30-yard games, that's coming. And those things end seasons for you. Whether you're in a guillotine league or the playoffs of a regular league, 4-30 is, those are 7 points that are not going to help you win a fantasy matchup. The correct answer is some.
Some.
Mm.
Cowboys take on the Vikings. This is a conundrum game in many respects because it is a Sunday night game, and we don't know what the hell's going on with Dak Prescott, and we may not before the Sunday games kick off, the earlier games kick off. So we got to talk about this in two parts, of course. Prescott's got a calf strain. Now, during the week, Prescott was saying things like, well, I don't want to re-injure it. I don't want to lose the rest of the season because of one game. He was saying all the things that suggest.
He also was saying, it's not up to me.
It's not up to me. That's
Whenever you say that, yep, you're usually not going to play.
I don't think he's playing. Now, we don't know that for sure. But even if he does play, calf injuries do re-injure. Not like a high ankle sprain does or a hamstring does, but the chance of re-injury is legitimate with that. So you got to factor that in here as well. So if you had told me, Zach, if you had told me Dak Prescott is going to start and finish this game, A grade. And that's where I had him at the beginning of the week when I started my prep on
this.
But as the week went on and he continued to not practice in a meaningful way, I lowered him to a B. And now I got him down to a C because I just don't think Dak Prescott's going to play in this game. And I worry about him going backwards if he does end up playing.
And it's tricky because it's the Sunday nighter.
It's the Sunday nighter. Now, here's your official pivot on Dak Prescott. Check to see if Daniel Jones on Monday night is available. Pick him up if you're a Dak owner, so that if Dak doesn't go, you can insert Monday nighter Daniel Jones in a very positive matchup into your lineup.
Sure.
And we'll talk, actually, I'm going to talk about Daniel Jones later in this show. All right, so there's Dak. His receivers, if Dak is going to go, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper are obvious A's.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't think they're going to go. Cooper Rush has 3 NFL passes in his life and 1 completion. If Cooper
that's not
Rush,
a good completion percentage.
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, I believe that's 33
Scott, can you do that math?
It's not divide by 2, so Scott's
if it
divide
was
by
half,
3, then yes.
If it was half, I got it.
It's with Cooper Rush, CeeDee Lamb, and Amari Cooper drop down to C grades for me, even though I like their matchups against a Viking secondary without Patrick Peterson. It's going to force Cameron Dantzler, backup cornerback, into a starting role. And the unique thing about this is Dantzler's played 757 NFL snaps. 9 of them are on the side of the field he'll be playing in this matchup where Patrick Peterson goes.
Hmm.
And those 9 all came last week when he had to fill in for Peterson.
You mean only 9 times?
Oh, how did I miss that?
9 times. 9 times.
9 times. That's it. And so I get worried about all the muscle memory that Cameron Dantzler has established on one side of the field. Can he, in just his second NFL year, flip that over to the other side of the field? I don't know the answer to that. I worry. Now, again, A grades on Lamb and Cooper if Prescott goes, C grades with Cooper Rush. The other receiving option I want to talk about is Dalton Schultz. Other than his week 2 dud, Schultz has caught at least 5 passes and hit at least 45 yards in every game, but this is a tough test against the Vikings, who are allowing less than 4 receptions per game to opposing tight ends and have not given up a tight end touchdown at all this year. So I don't love Schultz in this one, although I'll mention, if it's Cooper Rush, a lot of times you do see the check down release safety valve tight end connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that could happen here for Dalton Schultz if it is Cooper Rush. So I've got a C grade on Schultz regardless of who the starting quarterback is. Now let's go to Zeke. So now we've finally got a fairly predictable play. Obvious A against a defense missing. It's run stuffing defensive lineman Michael Pierce. Pierce has been out for a couple of games. Detroit and Carolina were not able to take advantage of that, but Detroit and Carolina are not Ezekiel Elliott and this Dallas offensive line. The way Dallas is going to win this game is they are going to run Zeke and Tony Pollard like crazy in this one. And Dallas gets their impact right tackle, Lyle Collins, back from suspension. That helps a lot. So obvious A grade for Zeke. I've got a C grade on Tony Pollard. He's received at least 10 touches for 63 yards in every game since week one, which is great. Minnesota's allowed one running back to catch a touchdown pass against them in their last 28 games, so he's going to have to get it done on the ground. Pollard did score on a 42-yard run against Minnesota last year. C grade for him. All right, now let's go to the Vikings, a more predictable game. Dalvin Cook's an obvious A. Cowboys are allowing an average of 125 rushing yards per game and a full touchdown per game over their last three. So Cook's an obvious A. Let's talk about Cousins, Jefferson, and Thielen, the passing attack for the Vikings, all A grades. It's been a major shift in philosophy. Kirk Cousins is averaging 40 pass attempts per game.
Ooh, that's a lot.
The last 2 years combined were 30 pass attempts a game. That extra 10 passes makes a huge difference in Cousins' upside for fantasy use. In his four games with at least 38 pass attempts, Cousins is averaging a whopping 313 yards and 2.5 passing touchdowns. In the games in which Dallas has seen at least 38 passes, they're giving up 322 passing yards per game. So big game coming here in all probability for Cousins, who should get just near the requisite kinds of volume that we're talking about. And for all the talk of Trayvon Diggs and the amazing 7 interceptions in the opening 6 weeks, what nobody's talking about except on this show, because we have, Diggs is allowing the second most passing yards in his coverage. The guy who's allowing the most is the other starting cornerback for Dallas, Anthony Brown. They're number one and number two in passing yards allowed. It's a great opportunity for Thielen and Jefferson in this matchup. All of them A grades. How about K.J. Osborne? Last time we saw K.J. Osborne 2 weeks ago, he was scoring the overtime game winner. He lines up almost entirely in the slot. That puts him up against Jordan Lewis. He is Pro Football Focus's 106th ranked cornerback.
So you're saying the Cowboys have corner issues.
I am saying they have corner issues. That's right. And even Tyler Conklin becomes a plausible desperation play against a defense that's allowed 4 different tight ends to top 55 yards and 4 tight end touchdowns. So there you go. Whew, that feels like a lot of talking by me in this segment. Way too much. This is more me than anybody needs to hear.
But
if you want to be able to read about my matchups instead of necessarily hearing me talk about them, guillotineleagues.com.
You could read them in your mind. You could pretend it's Charch's voice talking to you.
Oh, yeah. That's the way to do it right there. Just pretend it's my voice as you read. All the player rankings available for free, guillotineleagues.com. When we come back, Titans take on the Colts. Titans without Julio Jones. What do we think of this passing attack without one of their key players? We'll tell you when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back. Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Scott Fish and Matt Harrison with you. Titans take on the Colts, Scott. Derrick Henry's obviously an A grade. We're going to start him. I'm a lot more interested in what you have to say about the passing attack, sans Julio Jones this week.
But I have like 5 minutes of Derrick Henry stuff to talk about. Oh, okay. All right. On the passing side, Ryan Tannehill, I have a B grade for. He's only averaging 248 yards and a score this year, but the matchup is just right against the Colts D. We thought he would come back around last week. Mm-hmm. The Colts D has allowed 16 passing touchdowns through 7 weeks. That's over 2 per game if you can do the math on that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's also a D that has allowed 250 total yards and 3 scores to Tannehill in week 3. So it's one of his best games of the year was against this defense. Antonio Brown reminded us last week why he's that guy. I have an A grade on him.
Antonio Brown.
Oh, sorry. Wow.
That's
wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
AJ Brown. There we go.
AJ Brown. I have A Brown written on my.
It could be any Brown.
Yeah. A Brown. One of those Browns. reminded us that last week.
Oh, what a good game he had last
week. Yeah, 200 total yards. Yeah. 8 receivers have had over 100-plus yards and or a score in 7 games.
Mm.
The only game that didn't happen was Brandon Cooks when he went 9 for 89, so almost 100 yards.
Yeah.
The top guy gets his against the Colts, A.J. Brown.
Yes.
That A.J. Brown gets an A grade. Over to the other side, I said Carson Wentz was my take a chance on me player. So in the passing game, I have an A grade on Michael Pittman. He's their alpha. He is the high target games are great. His low target games, he manages to somehow still make something happen.
Yeah.
He gets like 60 yards in his low target games. Titans allowing the second most receptions and the most receiving yards and the fifth most receiving touchdowns. I think it's a pretty much a smash spot for Pittman. I think it's going to be a high volume, high output game for him. On to Zach Pascal. I actually have him on the bench. Mm. I know it's a great matchup against the team allowing the most yards to the slot receiver, but he has disappeared way too many times.
Including last week, got me chopped in that guillotine league you and I are in.
He has 2 catches for 27 yards and no scores in the last 2 weeks combined.
And in plus matchups, too.
Yep, yep. Mo Alie-Cox, I have at the bench. Kelsey had 7 for 65 last week against the Titans. But everyone else has done almost nothing. I think it's not a great matchup. And he doesn't have more than 5 targets in any game. He's very touchdown dependent.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Taylor, it's just he's an A grade. Over the last 4 games, he's averaging over 18 touches, over 137 combo yards, 1.25 touchdowns. I don't care that the Titans are top 10 against running backs, because it's mostly because teams can throw a ton on them. Only one running back this year has seen the volume Taylor sees. And that running back went for 148 in a score.
Wow.
So,
yeah,
A grade on Taylor.
Makes sense. Patriots take on the Chargers, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
For the Patriots, Damian Harris is on a heck of a run right now.
Yeah, maybe no one passes against the Chargers because it's so easy to run
right.
against the Chargers. And mm-hmm. I'm giving Damian Harris an A grade in this one. Opposing runners are averaging 5.3 yards per carry. So if you hand the ball to your runner every time, you'll get a first down every 2 plays. That's a good thing. It's not surprising to find out that the Chargers have allowed the second most rushing yards and the fourth most rushing touchdowns to opposing runners. And Harris has been dominating the rushing count for a few weeks in New England, topping 100 yards on the ground in 2 straight. Scoring 4 times in the last 3 games. By the way,
it could have been more last week, except they got so far ahead they stopped using him.
Yeah, and they gave 2 touchdowns to his backup. I forget who it was offhand. But it wasn't Brandon Bolden,
no.
And he's on the bench, by the way. Bad matchup for receiving running backs in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers somehow good against receiving running backs. They're a really weird team. And that's why I'm giving Hunter Henry an A grade in this one as well. I think we used to use the duck for the revenge duck because Hunter Henry in the revenge game.
Yeah, I like that.
Jonnu Smith is questionable with a shoulder injury, too. So touchdown vulture Kendrick Bourne, he's also in the same boat, questionable with a shoulder. No one else catches touchdown passes for the Patriots. It's just Hunter Henry. He's got a touchdown reception in 4 straight. The revenge game as he returns to L.A. To top it off, the Chargers are one of the worst teams in the league against the tight end position. They've allowed a tight end touchdown in 4 straight and 5 of 6 games this season. And this was the team that allowed David Njoku to go for 149 yards the other week. So, Mac Jones, if the Chargers are that bad against tight ends, they have to be a passing sieve, right?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Whoa.
Only one quarterback they've faced has topped 260 yards this season.
Mm-hmm.
Just half the quarterbacks they've faced have achieved 2 or more touchdown passes. So Jones gets only a C grade. Those who didn't get to the 2 touchdown pass mark, Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson, they're pretty good quarterbacks. They weren't able to do it either. So barely a starting grade for Mac, mostly getting the C grade because I think Hunter Henry's going to eat in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Jacoby Myers and the rest of the receivers are on the bench. The Chargers are allowing the fewest receptions and yards to wide receivers and the second fewest touchdowns to the position at only 3 this season. So it's going to be just like Jacoby Myers to get his first ever NFL touchdown
against all odds
in this game when
but you're
nobody
still putting
expects
a bench
it.
Grade on him.
Bench grade for
okay,
sure.
Okay, good.
Now let's go over to the Chargers side where we talk about Justin Air Bear. And it's an A for Air Bear. And by the way, Air Bear t-shirts and sweatshirts are available through Shock Fantasy. If you go to the shockfantasy.com shop,
he's adorable too.
It will take you right to the selection of shirts featuring a cute little bear in a flight suit,
yes.
number 10 on his lapel and everything.
Yes.
It's great. If you use the promo code AIRBEAR to purchase a season pass to Shock Fantasy, you get $15 off the sticker price, by the way. By the way, AIRBEAR averaging 295 and 2.3 touchdowns per game. The Pats appear good on paper, but a couple of good quarterbacks they've faced have had their way with the secondary. Brady threw for 269. Dak went for 445 and 3. And even Davis Mills went for 312 and 3. So I'm not fearing Air Bear in this one. Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, they're both getting A grades. The Pats present a middle-of-the-pack challenge for Williams and Allen. None of the Patriots' corners have been overwhelmingly good or bad. So I'll bet on the two wide receivers who are each averaging over 9 targets per game and close to 6 receptions each. Finally, the most difficult thing of this whole matchup is Austin Eckler.
Yeah, we don't know if he's going to go.
Yeah, he had a hip injury pop up during the week this week. He's the only Charger that didn't practice on Thursday, and he didn't practice Friday either. If he does not go, it's probably a pretty big split between Justin Jackson, Joshua Kelly, and Larry Roundtree with Gabe Neighbors mixed in the passing game. It's gross. Of that group, Roundtree is probably the one who gets the most work. He's the only one who's topped 4 carries in a game this year, so he'd probably be the safest rusher, but it would be a committee of 4, and so I think I'd bench them all. If Eckler is cleared, he's getting a B grade. It's downgraded to a B because of the injury. The Pats have allowed the 5th most receptions and the 4th most receiving yards to opposing backs, so if you want a super sneaky DFS dart throw, Gabe Neighbors is the...
That's the weird pass-catching back.
It's super deep. He's going to be super cheap. But if Eckler doesn't go, Gabe Neighbors, fire him up.
Good heavens.
Oh, my gosh. I hope we don't have to fire up Gabe Neighbors.
Let's hope it doesn't
Sounds like
that.
One of Mr. Rogers' friends.
We're going to do the Monday Nighter. Normally, we do the Monday Nighter last. We've still got a couple of matchups left because they'll come up next segment. But it's Giants-Chiefs, and this is super thorny as well. I always get these weird ones with a lot of moving parts here. Let's start and just try to get this out of the way. Kenny Golladay probably does not go after missing most all of practice this week. Sterling Shepard, game time decision, hamstring. Kadarius Toney, game time decision, ankle. So good luck on this Monday nighter. That's going to be a real problem. You know, for Daniel Jones, it largely depends on just how many of these guys are available, and I can't tell you that for Monday yet. If it's Shepard, who seems to be the healthiest of the receivers here, you know, the hope is that the hamstring doesn't aggravate in game, which they do a lot, and that could be a big risk here. If you told me Shepard was going to play the whole game, I'd give him a B grade. I can't know that that's going to be the case, so I'm going to move him down to a C grade. Positive matchups against Charvarius Ward and Mike Hughes. These guys have really struggled in coverage all season long. The Kansas City's allowed the 2nd most touchdowns to wide receivers, so there's a nice opportunity for Sterling Shepard if he's able to go. I don't think Golladay goes. Kadarius Toney, maybe he would be in the slot against Legarius Sneed. His Pro Football Focus is 89th ranked wide receiver, and he's giving up a nearly perfect passer rating of 145 in his coverage. So if Toney can go...
He did practice on Friday.
He did. The hope is that he can go. He's got the ankle injury, and last time he tried to start a game with the ankle injury, he left in the 1st quarter.
Okay.
So that's your risk on Toney, and that's why I've got a C grade on him. Evan Ingram was my take a chance on me receiver this week, and he's healthy. So there's your safe play. You could go to Darius Slayton as a safe option as well,
sure.
as a pivot if you needed to. So for Daniel Jones, I've only got the C grade on him with all of these moving parts. Even though the Chiefs are giving up 2.8 passing touchdowns per game to opposing quarterbacks, and they're getting beat on the ground too, and Daniel Jones can run. Chiefs are allowing the most quarterback rushing attempts for the most yards and the most rushing touchdowns. That's a hell of a trifecta for Daniel Jones on the ground. So maybe he helps you out with a safe floor of 30, 40, 50, 60 rushing yards in this game if they decide to run him a lot. And there was that game earlier this year for Daniel Jones. Do you remember this? They basically just ran him like a running back all game.
They had a lot of designed runs in the first 3 weeks for Daniel
So
Jones.
Maybe that happens here, and especially with Saquon Barkley out. Devontae Booker gets a B. Kansas City ranks 31st in rushing yards and receiving yards allowed to runners. This is a nice matchup. They give up over 140 combo yards and nearly a score per game, and almost all that would go to Booker here. Elijah Penny's not a material factor in this offense. If Booker were better and this offensive line were better, I'd give him an A, but we're going to give Devontae Booker a B grade. And lastly, let's go over to the Kansas City side, where this won't take very long. Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, they're still A grades. You know, for all the problems Mahomes has had, as we discussed earlier in the show, he's still been a fantasy force. And, you know, you would have never considered benching those guys before last week. You're not going to bench him here. And Mahomes is one game removed from a 428-yard passing game. So this is still a very good game. New York's allowed multiple passing touchdowns in 5 of 7 games. Only Sam Darnold and Jameis Winston failed to ring the bell twice. Last guy I want to mention for Kansas City, Darrell Williams. Should be able to take some of the pressure off of Mahomes with a decent game here. Giants are allowing the fifth most rushing yards per game to opposing running backs on 4.5 yards per carry. Williams is seeing 68% of the snaps since taking over for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and that volume could be lucrative here. Similar high-volume backs like Ezekiel Elliott and Daryl Henderson and Alvin Kamara averaged over 100 yards and over a score per game. So, roll all that together, and I think we're sitting in a pretty good spot for Darrell Williams, and we give him a B grade in this game. The receivers are two. The other receivers, remember when Josh Gordon, everybody's excited for Josh Gordon?
No. I mean, like 5 years ago.
I think Avatar was in the theaters. That's way before 2013.
You may be right about that. When we come back, premature speculation, we're going to tell you the guys you want to pick up this week that everybody else will be trying to pick up next week. Find out who when we come back. Final segment of Fantasy Football Weekly. We continue to create new leagues at guillotineleagues.com. If you want to try the freshest new format in fantasy sports, guillotineleagues.com.
Fresh.
Let's hit the time machine. We're going to give you some guys to pick up this week that everybody else is going to be trying to pick up next week.
Can we stop for a second? I think we need that fresh.
All three of us did that.
Very nice. Yeah.
Great.
We'll button bar that. All right, Scott, who is your your premature speculation player?
I'm going to go super deep for people here. So, sometimes we need a deep prospect. Tyree Jackson looked really good in OTIs in preseason. They really liked what they had in him. He's the tight end for Philadelphia, designated to return. They've spoken so glowingly about him that it allowed them to trade Ertz. He's an uber athlete, 6'7", 250 pounds, 4'9", 40 time, 92nd percentile catch radius. He's a really big tight end for that Philadelphia Eagles team that needs receivers, and he could be a big catch radius guy for Jalen Hurts.
All right, I like it.
Deeper leagues.
Okay. Matt, your premature speculation player.
I've got Van Jefferson, and Scott mentioned the 94% snap share earlier in the show last week. DeSean Jackson has requested a trade from the Rams and will be inactive this week, so Van Jefferson's going to be on the field in all three receiver sets. He's seen 6 or more targets in 3 of his last 5 games, scoring twice in those contests. And after a matchup against the Texans this week, which could yield some big numbers, and he was startable, I believe, in your matchup, right, Scott?
Yep.
Yes. He gets Tennessee's terrible secondary next week, and then has matchups with Green Bay, Jacksonville, Arizona, and Seattle coming after the bye, all of which are decent matchups and should yield some positive game scripts for Van and some more starting grades.
I'm going to give you 1.1. premature speculations players. The point one is just a total dart throw. With Robert Tonyan's season over, the Packers are going to make a move. How about Houston shipping Jordan Akins, an athletic tight end that can be the, you know, Mercedes Lewis isn't an athletic pass-catching tight end. Jordan Akins, maybe, if Houston's going to continue selling players.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're in a super deep league and you just want to throw a dart, maybe there. But let's go to the full-blown guy. Salvon Ahmed, Miami's quasi-backup running back, with Malcolm Brown on IR. That means there's 4, 7, 9 more touches every game to go someplace. And Myles Gaskin has done nothing to suggest that he's automatically going to get those.
Nope.
Schedule is favorable going forward. And he's had some decent usage the last couple of weeks, 8 and 9 touches the last 2 weeks. Salvon Ahmed might end up turning into the quasi-starting running back.
Could happen.
Could happen.
He was good last year in relief, or when he got the full load.
Scott, let's get into your final matchup, which is the Jaguars taking on the Seahawks. Lots of sneaky good plays against this sagging secondary for the Seahawks. Well, and frankly, their run defense isn't good either.
Yeah, I was really torn on a lot of these. I mean, I already talked about Jamal Agnew, who I really like I had a C grade on him. He was my take a chance on me player. That passing game, I'm torn on Trevor Lawrence as giving him a startable grade. I gave him a bench grade, but I could see a C here. He had 270-plus yards and a score in each of his last two games. Over the last four games, though, the Seahawks have not given up multiple touchdowns. And in the last 5 weeks, only Stafford has topped 229 yards passing. There's a lot more running game stuff that's getting done there.
Yeah.
So I have Lawrence on the bench. But this is interesting. They only have four pass receivers doing anything. 55 of the 61 targets in the last two games have gone to four people. Like they're throwing in no one else, just four people. So Marvin Jones, C grade. Jones found his way to a big day in week six. He had two duds prior to that. Mm-hmm. But the matchup is good.
Drawing, it is good.
Yes.
I like Jones more than you do here. Okay.
Yeah, I consider it a B grade. It's the two duds before last week that give me pause. But yeah, against Sidney Jones, PFF's 115th ranked cornerback, I have a C grade there.
Last I looked, Sidney Jones had a perfect passer rating in his coverage.
Oh, so everything's getting caught. I do have Laviska Shenault on the bench, though. Despite seeing 10 targets in week six, he's not doing a lot with them unless he gets a huge play.
Mm-hmm.
He needs one huge play. Lucky for him, he's done that two out of the last 4 weeks.
And the Seahawks are capable of giving up the huge play, too.
Yeah. Bench grade on Dan Arnold. We have a two-game sample size on the new team. A nice 6-for-64 and a 2-for-27-yard dud. Five-plus targets in each is nice, but since week one, no tight end has topped 25 yards. On the Seahawks.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and only two touchdowns allowed to the position on the season. So Arnold's on the bench. Robinson, I have a smash A spot on here.
Yeah.
19 plus touches in four straight weeks. That height experiment, he's getting less and less work. Over the last 4 weeks, Robinson scored in each of them, averaging 117 yards in each of them. And Seattle is allowing the most running back touches, rushing yards, and even receiving yards to running backs.
Wow.
So, smash spot there.
For sure.
On the other side, Geno Smith, I have on the bench because we've watched him play for the last couple weeks, and you know what's going on there. Tyler Lockett, four catches for 47 yards in the two games with Geno.
Because Lockett is deep ball dependent, and Geno can't pass the deep ball.
So I got him on the bench.
You should.
Gerald Everett, only six targets in the last two games with Geno. Mm-hmm. You're not doing anything with six targets in two games. He's on the bench. DK Metcalf, he had his day saved by a giant 84-yard touchdown last week. He's the only guy I can kind of trust.
Yeah.
The top receiving option against the Jags has had 100-plus yards and or score in five of the last six Jags games.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving Metcalf a B, but I don't love it with Geno at the helm.
No.
On to the running game. I expect Alex Collins to play. I know he didn't practice on Friday, but he did this last week, and then he played.
Right, they rested him.
Yeah, they rested him, and then he played, and he got like 20 touches. So he had 21 touches. No back with fewer than 26 touches against the Jags has topped 75 yards.
Mm.
It takes a ton of volume to get anything on the Jags, and I was surprised by that. So with a likely 17 to 18 touches coming to Collins, he is getting my patent pending.
Yeah.
Volume C grade. It's a volume C grade. I don't love the matchup, but I love the volume he's going to get.
All right. Sounds good. Our final matchup of the show is the Bucs taking on the Saints. Matt, this is Tom Brady's been basically bulletproof.
Yeah.
But it's a trickier matchup than most.
It is tricky, and I'm only giving him a C grade in this one.
Wow.
Brady's top line in three tries against the Saints as a member of the Bucs. 239 and two scores. He's actually thrown more picks than touchdowns against the Saints as a member of the Bucs. And outside of a weird Daniel Jones game, the Saints have kept quarterbacks in check, allowing only the ninth fewest passing yards per game, the second fewest passing touchdowns with only six allowed through six games. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, they're the main wide receivers because Antonio Brown has been ruled out. He won't play. Scotty Miller, Justin Watson also on IR.
Mm-hmm.
What did we see last week when these two were the main guys? 10 targets and three touchdowns for Mike Evans. 11 targets, 8-for-111 for Chris Godwin. He scored as well. If you give each of them double-digit targets, the chances of both of them scoring is massive, but weirdly, The Saints give up all their passing yards to the wide receiver position, allowing 190 to the position on average, and 5 of the 6 touchdowns they've allowed this year went to a wide receiver. However, Marshawn Lattimore has absolutely terrorized Mike Williams the last few years. In the last 96 snaps where they've lined up against each other, Mike Evans has one catch.
That's amazing.
One.
Wow.
I'm so disappointed in you right now. Sunday is Halloween, and you could have gone off on a complete spiel of torturing and terrorizing is the only word you gave.
So
I expect more from
that. I'm only going to give Mike Evans a C grade here. I'm going to give Godwin the B. Gronk could return this week with the broken ribs. I'm a bit apprehensive and would keep him on the bench in this one. The Saints have been very good against the tight end as well, mm-hmm. allowing only 38 yards per game to the position. Leo Fournette, he gets a B grade. Fournette's workload average is 18. That's carries plus targets per game. That's the 12th best mark in the league, which is more than Austin Eckler, Aaron Jones, and Saquon Barkley in his healthy games. So the opportunity is there, and if he can maintain those 18 touches, there's some gold here.
Yeah, but Kenny against a great run defense.
Three running backs have hit the 18-touch mark against the Saints this year. Two of those three scored twice. Hmm. The average total yard mark for those three backs, 112 yards. So
all
if you get
so
the
if
volume.
If he does get the volume.
If you get the volume, you get the production.
But you already told me that, well, maybe. Okay. All right. I'm kind of listening to that.
All right. He's averaging 18 per game. Let's go. Jameis Winston, he gets a revenge duck here, Charge.
May I revenge duck him, please?
Yeah, although this one is in New Orleans, so it probably doesn't hit quite as hard. The Bucs defense is allowing 270 and 2 to opposing quarterbacks. And even both Mac Jones and Jacoby Brissett hit those numbers in the last month. But something about Winston just hasn't passed the eye test, though. That's
agreed.
Translated to low yardage totals. He's only topped 230 yards once in 6 starts.
Well, the volume is so low, which tells you plenty. Sean Payton doesn't trust Winston to throw very much.
He's not going YOLO downfield, and that's why his favorite wide receiver is not a wide receiver. It's Alvin Kamara. Mm-hmm. He gets a B grade in this one. Nobody runs against the Bucs, though. They're averaging only 49 yards against per game. However, we did see Kamara get targeted 10 times last week in Seattle.
Yeah.
And the Bucs are allowing the 4th most receptions and the 10th most receiving yards to opposing backs. Despite the tough matchup with the Bucs, Kamara has topped 100 total yards or scored in 3 straight against Tampa. And then Marquez Callaway and the rest of the wide receivers, they're on the bench. You may look at this and say, it's the Bucs secondary. They're terrible, but not so fast. Mm. In the last 4 weeks, they have not allowed a touchdown to a wide receiver. Opposing offenses are only averaging 14.5 points against the Bucs in that time. Now, Callaway has had 7 and 8 targets in the last 2 weeks,
yeah.
And he's the best option.
He is.
But he's only actually catching about half of his targets, and that's not good.
That's Jameis Winston.
Yeah,
right
plus
there, baby.
Traquan Smith returned last week. Kenny Stills and Kevin White were involved last week. Deontay Harris was limited in practice and might play. Yeah, it's just not good for any of the wide receivers. By the way, Michael Thomas still not practicing, but some speculated he'd be back for this game.
No,
that won't happen
this week. No, not this
but week. It might next week, so mm-hmm. keep an eye on that. It might change the offense just a little bit there.
While we're talking about the Saints, let's talk about Ingram and his impact, Mark Ingram's impact on Kamara. Kamara, coming into the season, had only had one game with 20 or more rushes, and it was the 6-touchdown blowout against the Vikings that won and lost many championships. They've now this season, they're all 20 rush games, basically. And I got to believe they have to take some of the wear and tear off Alvin Kamara. And they made this move to siphon off some legitimate carries from Kamara.
Yeah, Ingram's going to get 10 touches.
He's going to get 10 touches per game.
Yeah.
I think he will, too. I think we're going to see Kamara go back to where they traditionally like to use him, which is more like 12 carries, 6 targets, 7 targets.
Yeah.
And that's more traditionally where he's been. I don't think they want to keep this level of workload going on.
But is that bad? Because Alvin Kamara was still
really
a top 5 running back, even with the reduced touch load. I don't think it's a bad thing for him.
Maybe he'll just be more efficient.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are we going to give starting grades at any point this season to Mark Ingram?
Depends.
Taking injury off the table.
He picked the number 14, which I don't love on his body type as a running back.
It's slimming, though.
Yeah, so I have trouble ranking a number 14 running back like that. But I think we're going to see, games like, there are teams that are just so bad against the run that the backup we give C grades to. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to get some of those, a few of those.
All right, in our final moments, Kyler Murray's rushing totals, and so much of what Kyler Murray's been an awesome fantasy producer is because he's chipped in rushing numbers. Mm-hmm. 1 yard, 6 yards, 10 yards, 21 yards.
Yeah, they're not there.
That's since he had that little bit of a shoulder injury scare, mm-hmm. by the way, and yeah. they're trying to take a little bit of those hits off of him. I think it's nice that they played Thursday and he gets a little extra rest this week.
You know what? I think I'd move him. I think you'd trade Kyler Murray straight up for almost anybody right now.
You probably could.
I would check in on Patrick Mahomes.
After a bad game.
Problem is he already played.
That's true. It's going to be tricky. That part's going to be trickier. But next week, mm-hmm. you can make that move if you need to. Thank you for listening to Fantasy Football Weekly. If you're listening to this over the air, know that if you miss any part of the show, we're available as a podcast, Fantasy Football Weekly, and vice versa. If you were listening to the podcast, check your local sports talk radio station for Fantasy Football Weekly. Talk to you in a week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Fresh.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.